A lot of the things we've been considering in the past week, I want to direct your attention tonight to the Gospel according to John in chapter 10. I think we may find some interesting things here that fit in with some of the truths we believe and teach and seek to practice here at Faith Bible Fellowship. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Let's stop there just for a moment and let that statement sink with all of us. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them. So it's obvious that the first 5 verses and linked to the 6th tells us that he was speaking a parable. Change takes place in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now I'm going to read that verse 16 again and draw your attention to the fact that twice in this verse we have the word fold, reading from the Authorized Version, but they are two entirely different words. Now let me read it again. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall become one flock and one shepherd. Now read further down the chapter, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let us bow for prayer again. Our Father, we thank thee for these seasons when we can meet together. Again, we've been reading from thy precious word, that thou by the Holy Spirit teach us tonight what thou wouldst have us to know. Bless each soul bowed before thee now. Bless every home represented here. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. My reason for directing your attention to this chapter here is not to preach the gospel tonight, although this is a beautiful passage from which to preach the gospel. Verse 9 makes a beautiful gospel text. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I love that text as a gospel text. But there are other truths here. Some of you may remember this, of course, that in this particular passage, there are three doors. Three doors. In the parable that I drew your attention to in the opening verses, there, it's the door of the sheepfold. He mentions that. And he tells of those coming in, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Now, I suppose that each one here tonight has some little knowledge of what a sheepfold actually is. Although I haven't seen many sheep around this part of the world. And even if you have them, you don't have any sheepfolds. But where they are accustomed to raising a lot of sheep, they have the sheepfolds. Sometimes they're built with rocks, built up in a wall. It may be round, it may be circular, or it may be square, but it's an enclosure. A sheepfold is an enclosure where they'll bring the sheep in. It may be at night they bring them in, they put them into the sheepfold. Or it may be if a storm was coming, they would bring the sheep in and put them in there for protection. But in the east, they had sheepfolds, more or less. They would be like what you would call parking lots today. People drive in with their cars, they're looking for a parking lot, and you know, sometimes it's easy to find one and sometimes it isn't. And these men are coming in with their sheep. Maybe they're going to the market the next day, or they may have bought some sheep at the market and are going away in the morning. But they've got to look after those sheep, and they've got to find a sheepfold. And someone may own a place that's used as a sheepfold, and along comes shepherd number one. And he may put in half a dozen sheep, or he may put in a dozen sheep. And he puts them in. But he doesn't stay with them, he goes into the inn to spend the night. Along comes another shepherd, and he puts his sheep in. You may have six shepherds coming along with different flocks, and they put all the sheep in together. Now, when a man comes along in the morning, and he comes along and he says, "Now, I'm here to get my sheep." There's a porter there, a keeper of the sheepfold. He's the porter. The porter looks at the man. He says, "No, you can't get in here. You have no sheep here. I don't recognize you." But suppose, on the other hand, it's a genuine shepherd who put his sheep in the night before, and he comes along and the porter says, "Oh yeah, yeah, I recognize you. You put your sheep in last night." And you go. Now when he's leaving that sheepfold, he only takes his own sheep. To the other sheep that's there, he's a stranger. But he goes in and he calls his own sheep by name. And as he calls them by name, they recognize his voice and they follow him and he leads them out. Now, says the Lord, in these opening verses, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You see, a man coming along, and he's coming here to get sheep, but they're not his own sheep. He's a thief. And if you read further down, you'll find he's a violent thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. He's going to get a sheep all right, but he's going to kill that sheep. In the country where I was born and raised, there was a law against sheep stealing. You could be hung by the neck for sheep stealing. That law is still on the books, but it's not carried into effect. But it's still there. A man could be hung for sheep stealing. In fact, they used to say that a lot of people who ran away to the United States ran out of the country because they were being hounded for sheep stealing. It was a crime. Sheep stealing. Here in the Far East, it was the same. The Lord says the sheep stealer, the thief, the robber, he comes along. He doesn't come to the door and seek entrance there. He comes in illegally. He breaks the law. He climbs over the wall, gets in amongst the sheep, and chooses his sheep. He gets it, he throws it over the wall, and gets out again. And he gets his sheep outside, and he's going to have some good mutton for a long time. He's going to kill it. He's a thief. He's a robber. Now, says the Lord, I'm not like that. I don't climb over the wall. I came in the right manner. I came in a lawful manner. Now then, not only does he speak about the thief and the robber and contrast himself with that, he introduces another character here called the porter. To him the porter openeth. And so he's in relationship now to the porter. The question has often been asked, and who was the porter that opened the door to him? That door had been closed, as it were, for over 400 years. There was no direct voice heard from God from the time of Malachi until you come to the opening of the New Testament. No voice of a prophet. A silent heaven for 400 years. No direct message from God. They had to rely on what already had been written by the prophet. And suddenly a man appeared. A rugged man of the wilderness, John Baptist. He takes the place of opening the door. He's the forerunner. He's the introducer. He introduces the Christ. He points to him and says, behold the Lamb of God. Who are you? Are you the one we've to expect? He says, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was the porter. He's simply opening the door. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. I must get out of the way and let him in. And so he comes in. He's the real shepherd, the rightful owner of the sheep. He's coming in to claim his own sheep. So he goes into that fold. That fold, by the way, is the fold of Israel. Now we're going to find that when we come to verse 16, but in the meantime we're just looking at the opening parable, which is going to lead up to verse 16. He comes into the fold, which is the fold of Israel. Now let me say this very pointedly. In the fold of Israel, every person in that nation was an Israelite. And they may all be the lost sheep of Israel. Not the lost tribes, by the way. There's no such thing as lost tribes. God knows where they are. Nothing's not lost if you know where it is. God knows where they are. There's men who speak of the lost tribes. But the Lord Jesus comes in and he doesn't call all these sheep. Now that should be made perfectly clear. He goes in and he calls his own. From that fold. And the thing we hear and learn here is this. And he calleth his own sheep by name. He knows them. He calls them by name and they follow him. And as they listen to his voice, they recognize here is the Messiah. Here is the shepherd of the sheep. They recognize his voice and he leads them out. He doesn't leave them in. He becomes the leader. He leads them out. They become the followers and they follow him. Now that being so, we should learn this, that in the presentation of truth, we're not asking people to follow us or to follow me. When a man seeks to get disciples to follow him, He's doing the wrong thing. And if a group of people try to get people to follow them, they're doing the wrong thing. John the Baptist never asked people to follow him. He pointed to the true shepherd, and he called them the Lamb of God. There he is. And they left John, and they followed him. Now in Christianity today, we should be following the Lord. If the Lord is not the center, there's something wrong. When you come to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that's what's gone wrong in Corinth. The church at Corinth was divided up into factions, all because they were following men. And they were good men. The men they were following were good men. Some said, we're following Peter, we like Peter's teaching. Oh, we're following Paul, we like Paul. Others said, oh, we like Apollos, he's a wonderful orator, we love him. So we're going to vote for Apollos. No, we're going to vote for Peter. No, we're going to vote for Paul. And they were divided up into little sections, divisions. Paul condemned it. The Word of God condemned it. You see, men are not supposed to draw disciples after themselves. The whole objective in the ministry from the Word of God, no matter who the preacher may be, the one objective in ministering the Word of God is to direct people to the Lord. Not to ourselves. If a preacher begins to direct people to himself and draw people to himself, he's missed the way entirely. And he'll lead others astray. Our duty is to direct men and women to the Lord. And so therefore the Lord speaks. They hear his voice. He calls them and he leads them out. And it says distinctly here, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. Now he introduces another person in this parable, whom he calls the stranger. In verse 5 he says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Now it's a very interesting thing to watch this. I often use this as an illustration. I've been up on the hill with other people, climbing away over the hills, and there are the sheep scattered all around. Now all you need to do is whistle. If you just whistle, you'll see those sheep that are grazing on the hillside. The moment you whistle, the heads all come up. It's a strange thing, you know, they run. And they run in all directions. But here up comes the shepherd. You see the shepherd coming. He may have his dog with him and his shepherd's crook. And he just comes up and you'll see him standing there and he whistles. And the moment he whistles, you see those sheep doing the same thing, but they don't scatter, they don't run. You see them all coming together. And he just sends that dog out and it cuts a huge circle right round. And he just stands there. And you see those sheep coming in towards the shepherd. You see, they recognize the signal from the shepherd. His dog helps them, brings them in. But a stranger they will not follow. One day a preacher who was out in the Middle East and speaking to one of the shepherds there in the hills of Judea, he questioned them about this. He asked the shepherd there, he said, would any of your sheep follow a stranger? He said, yes. But if any of my sheep happened to follow a stranger, I would know there was something wrong with it. Only when a sheep is sick will it follow a stranger. And you know, if that's true, and I have every reason to believe it is, there must be an awful lot of professing religionists today who are sick. They've been listening to the voice of strangers. Cults are growing today like mushrooms. One of my brethren who's present here tonight told me that just yesterday he was listening to a radio broadcast. I'll not mention which broadcast it was. It's not too far from here. I was shocked at what he told me. Here's a man who's professing to be a teacher of the Word, denying the doctrine of the Trinity, denying the deity of Jesus Christ, yet claiming that he has quite a following in this place. What's going wrong with people? Now, we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, and if we had time we could prove it to you from the Word of God. We've done it before, do it again. I hope that each of you tonight have got your feet firmly established on that solid rock. God the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A Holy Father, the Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one, and one in three. If you deny the Trinity and deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you are seeking to honor the Son. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. These are damnable doctrines that are being taught. Yet people who profess to be sheep must be sick if they're following the voice of the stranger. It's time for people to be established in sound doctrine. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And so he said he didn't come in as a thief or a robber. He didn't come in to steal. Came in to claim his own. He's different from the porter. John the Baptist no doubt was a porter and opened the door to let him in. There are a lot of strangers going around, but his sheep are not going to listen to the stranger, bless the sick of course. But then he tells us of something else. When you get down to verse 12, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. There are two things here, a hireling and a wolf. Now, a hireling may be called a hireling shepherd. There's a difference between a hireling shepherd and an underling. You see, a man may be a shepherd. In fact, there may be three or four shepherds all employed, and there's a chief shepherd. So you may have shepherds, and you may have the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd is responsible, you know, for giving orders to the under-shepherds, or the helpers. But they will be responsible to report to the chief shepherd. Now that's a different thing altogether. Here is a man who's a hireling. I might say this to you, shepherds are born. Being a shepherd is something that's in the bones. Oh, you may learn some things by experience, but people don't go to school to learn how to be shepherds. And there's no such thing as a man retiring from being a shepherd. He may retire from his position, but he still has an interest in the sheep. Even if he's supposed to be retired, he'll go out and he'll have a look at the sheep, he'll watch them. He takes a great interest in the sheep. And if they need help, he's still there to give help. And by the way, a sheep is a very strange animal. It needs to be helped from the day it's born to the day it dies. You know that? Can't do much for itself except take the pasture. And even then, the shepherd has got to lead it onto the green pastures. But he says he's a hireling. A hireling is a man who doesn't have a shepherd's heart at all. He's a man who's simply taking up a position for what he can get out of it. He's hired. And he's going to be paid. He's going to be paid for doing the job of caring for those sheep. But they're not his sheep. And he hasn't got a heart for the sheep. I told the preacher not so long ago, he was in some trouble, I said, do your own self to blame. If you let them hire you, you'll have to be ready for them to fire you. And if somebody hires you, you know they have the right to fire you. But if you don't allow yourself to be hired, then you can't be fired. The unfortunate thing, he allowed himself to be hired, and when he was fired, he had a sore heart. The sad thing about it is he's gone and let himself be hired again. He'll get fired again. It might be worse the second time than the first time. A hireling. Again, if you're going to be hired, you can be fired. What is a hireling? Here's a man who says, yes, I'll do it, I'll take a job, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. But he introduces the thought here of a wolf. He says, and he that is an hireling, and not a shepherd, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, they're not his sheep. So why should he care for them? Why should he endanger his own life for sheep that are not his? Oh, what a difference from David. David was just a stripling. But David had sheep there, and they were his own sheep. They belonged to his father. They were his. Belonged to his family. He's out there on the hillside. He may have been lying down under the shade of a tree, playing on his little instrument, when suddenly, you know, his eye is over the flock, and he sees an enemy approaching. He sees that lion coming. All he had was his little sling, or his club. And he goes after the enemy, and he stands between the foe and the sheep. And he killed the enemy and defended the sheep, delivered the sheep from the jaw of the enemy. Why didn't he run away? Because he was a shepherd at heart. David knew something about a shepherd's life, and then he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. All that I've ever done for my sheep, the Lord has done for me. The Lord is my shepherd. David was a true shepherd. But here's a man who's just a hireling. And he's out there, and instead of protecting the sheep, when he sees the enemy coming, he says, why should I endanger my life for them? They're not mine anyway. And so he says, a hireling seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. Now it's very interesting. I want you to think again of a flock of sheep. When a shepherd comes and stands there, the sheep will gather around the shepherd. True shepherd will draw the sheep together. But you introduce a wolf right in there, whether it's in the fold or out on the hillside. Introduce the wolf and see what will happen. The sheep will not gather round the wolf. They'll scatter. And they'll scatter in every direction. And the wolf will go after some of them to catch them and destroy them, feed on them. You see, a wolf feeds on flesh. A sheep feeds on green pasture. Difference between a wolf and a sheep. Now when the Lord Jesus introduces the thought of men being wolves, and when the Apostle Paul speaks of wolves, there shall enter in amongst you grievous wolves, not sparing the flock. I want you to turn over to that verse for a moment with me. Acts chapter 20. Now remember that right here, he's speaking to men who were recognized as shepherds in the church at Ephesus. He's giving them here his final word. He's speaking now to those elders, Luke verse 28 of chapter 20. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, shepherds, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse or perverted things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He says they shall enter in grievous wolves. He's referring here to men in the character of wolves. Now, the shepherd, when he was going out to do his work on the hills of Bethlehem or around the Judean hills, he had to dress appropriately. Many a night he'd be out in the cold. Might be warm during the day and very cold at night. And he usually made himself a coat of sheepskins. Heavy sheepskins made his coat. That's what he would wear. A wolf comes along. I'm not referring now to the animal. I'm referring to the man in character of a wolf. He may come along dressed up, says the Lord, in sheep's clothing. In plain words, he's not pretending to be a sheep. He's pretending to be a shepherd. He's dressing himself up like a shepherd in sheep's clothing. So he's coming in pretending to be a shepherd. But the fact of the matter is, in character, he's a wolf. He will not be detected by appearance. But he will be detected when he opens his mouth. You know, there's a difference between the voice of the shepherd or the bleat of a sheep and the howl of a wolf. When the wolf howls, it's after its prey. It's a weird sound. It's out to kill. And when the wolf comes in and he opens his mouth, you'll be dead. More than that, whenever the wolf comes in, the sheep will scatter. Whenever you see God's people being scattered, you can rest assured an enemy has done this. Somebody is there in character as a wolf. And when the wolf comes, the hireling flee. I'm not going to fight this business. I'm not going to stand up against them. I'll get out. Why? Because it's a hireling. But you see, the true man of God, who has the shepherd's heart, and it was these men he was referring to when he said to them, now look, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's your place to guard God's heritage. It's your place to protect those sheep. Not only will you guard them from the enemy, you'll guide them in true paths. You'll lead them and guide them into the pastures where they can be fed. Look after those sheep over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now let me bring that to your notice now when you come to verse 16. He's contrasted himself with all these others, with the robber and the thief and the stranger and the hireling and the wolf. And he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He took some of his sheep out of the fold of Israel. But he says, I've got other sheep. Who were these other sheep that were not in the fold of Israel? You and me and others, countless others, who were Gentiles. We had no claim upon him whatsoever. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now, after his death, burial and resurrection, the message goes out to the whole world. I've other sheep. I've got to bring them. I'll lead them, they'll hear my voice, and they will hear my voice, they'll follow me. There shall be one flock, one shepherd. Now you see, all the sheep that were in the fold of Israel didn't hear his voice, but some did. His own sheep came out, they followed him. And then there are those from amongst the Gentiles who hear his voice. That's where it all started. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You and I heard his voice, we heard that call, there was that response, we followed him. And you see, when sheep begin to follow the same shepherd, they're drawn together, and with the shepherd as the central gathering point, you gather around the shepherd, and that constitutes the one flock. When you begin to speak of a church, you can think in terms of a local group, a local church. Or you can think of the church in the aggregate, every saved person. And let me say this, for the benefit of all of us tonight. There is one aspect in religious circles today we must avoid, and it's this. There is no such thing as a church made up of small churches binding themselves together and saying, we are such and such a church. That is contrary to the Word of God. Every local church is self-governed with a responsibility to the head in heaven. In this country today, as well as in other countries, we face a tremendous problem. And that is seeking government recognition. Now look, if we're to have government recognition as being some kind of denomination, then the next step is government control. If you've got to take some particular label so that the folks in Washington or Baltimore or wherever they have the office for this, in order to recognize you, and you've got to take a particular name and say, we are such and such a denomination, then you've got their recognition, and the next thing is you're under their control. Whereas when you come to the Word of God, a local church is local, governed internally. And if they're prepared to recognize us as a group of Christians meeting as a local church, fine. Without being associated with any particular name. Because if you did take a particular name, you'd have to tell them which section. You know that as well as I do. Brothers and sisters, here, right in this little assembly, we faced this when we were building this chapel. There were those that wanted us to be recognized under a certain banner, under a certain name. We said, no. I told the fellow, we will not. I said, we're recognized here as an assembly meeting known as Faith Bible Fellowship. And that's good enough for us. We're not associated with any denomination. Get that clear. We are not Baptists. We're not Plymouth Brethren. We're just a group of Christians. A flock. Part of the greater flock. With Christ as the chief shepherd. There shall be one flock. And every other believer, no matter where they live, what country they're in, if they're attached to the Lord, they have the same attachment as we have. And when we meet here, our center is Christ. And we seek to go on these lines. One flock, one shepherd. Time's gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee again for another day spent with Thy people. We do ask that these things we study from Thy Word may abide with us, and grant that day by day as we meditate upon Thy Word, that we may grow thereby. We thank Thee for the exhortation of Thy Word. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. O God, wilt Thou give us keener desires for the reading and the studying of Thy Word. Now not only that we may grow, that we may grow together and be helpers one to the other, From this day on, we pray again, thou wilt be with each of us. We think of the various problems thy people will have to face during the week. Be with them and bless them. We think of Brother Jerry up in New Jersey at this time. Grant him safe journey, mercies when he comes home this week. And that next Sunday he'll be in the power of the Spirit, ready to bring us some fresh ministry. We ask these things now, giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Meeting's over.